sorry. That feeling of Yeyush that takes away a cheshek to daven. That's the klip of Esav and Yishmael. Tavati b'yevein, I feel that my whole life is one ongoing story of misery, of tzaros. Not to feel a desire, a natural cheshek to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the vote, of course, to combat that is Batzahir Chavdali. That's what we're learning about. Batzahir Chavdali, that gives a person a different perspective, to be able to take a second look at his life in the midst of all of the darkness, in the midst of that tsar that he's in, to be able to take note of the harchava that he has in the tsar. Once a person notices that and he realizes that he has so much in his life. I saw somebody made a sign, "I'm too blessed to be stressed." Somebody had a cute sign like that. "I'm too blessed to be stressed." It's a good vart. It's a true vart. And because now everybody's talking about stress, everything is stress. This is the mitzvah that we're in before Mashiach comes. The shirish of this avodah, you remember, I'm just reviewing a little bit, it was a couple of weeks, goes back to Yaakov Avinu, you remember? The Revach Tasimu ben Edu ben Eder. When Yaakov Avinu separated ben Edu ben Eder, which Chazal said between one golus and another golus, between Esav and Yishmael, that a Jew has to say to himself, it's not just one story of golus and tsaros and churban. My life is good. There are moments, there are times of darkness. But the ikir is moida ani lefanach al malachai v'kayim. Is that koyach of haidah that brings to simcha and a cheshek to daven and to cry out Hashem. But when a person feels crushed by the tzaros, when Esav and Yishmael combine in his life, and he doesn't see any separation between the tzaros, so then he stops davening. He doesn't feel that there's any point. And then from there on, of course, things begin to get darker and darker. Because without that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch, we have nothing. So you might recall, I mentioned then, when Rav Nosson brought up the Inyan of Tehillim. We're now coming closer towards the end of the weeks of Shaivavim. Even though this year we have the Schus, it's an Ibiyar, it's a leap year. So we have Shaivavim Tat, where we have also Truman Tetzavim. The tzaddikim that also says ta with kisisa, the added kisisa. But an ibiyur, a leap year, is unbelievable kayach of all that we were learning about and tikkunim to come, especially in a leap year, especially at the end of Shavuot. Now that next week the Shabbat, now it's already mishpatim and then Truma Tetzaveh. And the whole inyan of what a leap year is, we'll talk about that in the next couple of weeks. Ve'einenu mi'irei es kashemesh v'chayereach, all the tikkunim of Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David that are connected davke to that time when the moon and the sun are aligned, when the two calendars are realigned. So the inyan of train Mashiach and the two Mashiachs. But I mentioned then that I wanted to learn with you a little bit. I didn't know. I thought people. I was told people are off still. I didn't know Eilam was here. I'm happy to see people around. But I thought that we would spend a little bit of time to see the inyan of Shavuvim and Tehillim, and the avodah of Tehillim, and how it's connected to what we were just learning from Binas. And then we'll go back to the inyan of Esav Yishmael to finish up some things. The Torah that you have in front of you is from one of the great mashpim of our generation, Rabbi Shemaya Morgenstern, Zolgos und Zayn, from one of his Sichas in the Eichach L'Nafshecha. Aleph, you may Shoivavim Mesugolim, if you don't have, look with someone next to you, on page Aleph, on the first page where it says Aleph, you may Shoivavim Mesugolim L'tikun Pagomei Ha'avaynas. The inyan of saying Tehillim all of the year, anytime, is very great. We'll see. but particularly during this time of Shavim, and particularly the end of Shavim, saying Tehillim. Hine Isib Lukuta Maran. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. Rabbi Nachman says, Ve'ele Shmois B'nei Yisrael Haboim Mitzrayim, Eis Yaakov Ishu Beisai. The end letters, Seife Teves, Teves, Him Oisius Tehillim, for Oisius Tshuva. Now remember that the story of our descent into Golas is not only about Am Yisrael as a nation going into Golas, it's about each and every one of us in life going into Golas. And when Hashem Baruch brought us down to Mitzrayim, which means the Mitzrayim of our lives, the same way the Bnei Yisrael came down, Ishu Beisai, they came down, Hashem Baruch gave Bnei Yisrael the koach to exist in Golas, so too, each and every one of us, Hashem Baruch gave us what we need in Golas to be able to survive. Rabbi Nachman reveals here that it's hinted at in the first pasuk, Eile Shmeis Bnei Yisrael, Haboi Mitzrayim, Eis Yaakov Ishu Beiso, the end letters contained within them, the words Tehillim and Tshuva. That's a remarkable thing. The end letters contain Tehillim and Tshuva. Now we have a Kabbalah. Sometimes there are Rosh HaTevis, the beginning letters, right? Rosh HaTevis, the initials. Another way is the Sefer Tevis, the end letters. Sefer Tevis, a klal, that Sefer Tevis are speaking to us when we're in a difficult situation. That's why it's the end of the words. When you feel that you're at the end. Rosh HaTevis are speaking more when we're in an illuminated state, when things are going well. Sefer Tevis speak to us when we're at the end, when we feel that we're at the bottom at the end. That's why it's Sefer Tevis. The end letters. So, it's remarkable that when we went down into Golas, the Torah is telling us a few things here. First of all, how crucial it is to hold on to our Jewish names. For all of you who are, God forbid, still going by your Goyisha names, you should stop doing that. You should go by your Jewish names. Ve'ele Shmois B'nei Yisrael HaBoi Mitzrayim are the names. We know that preserving our names kept us as Jews during those years. And at the end of Golas that we're in now, Baruch Hashem, it's gotten a lot better. Many, many more people have started using over the years their Hebrew names, and the children already all have Hebrew names. Used to be that it wasn't like that. 30, 40, 50 years ago, everybody was giving non-Jewish names. Now the children have, Baruch Hashem, almost everybody has Jewish names, or at least the parents think they're Jewish names. They're trying. Some strange names come. I would tell you some of the names I've heard. You've also heard them, I guess. But at least the name. To hold on to our Jewish names, it's a very big thing to call each other by our true names. The koiches that it gives us, what it does for us, but that's not for now. But in the Sefer Tevis, besides it says Shmois B'nei Yisrael, the names, the Sefer Tevis tell us, Rabbi Nachman says, Tehillim and Tshuva. Tehillim and Tshuva. Ka'idei Tehillim, Zeichem L'Tshuva. Rabbi Nachman taught that one of the most powerful ways of coming back to Hashem, David HaMelech left us an unbelievable way to return. Tehillim. V'yidur ki yimei ha-shoivavim, ha-kadoshim, heim zman ha-mesugu l'tikun ha-avonis ha-chamurim. We know that these days of shoivavim, we know from the Ari HaKadosh and the Sorma HaKadoshim, that these days of shoivavim have a tremendous, tremendous koach, it's an eis ratzon, over these weeks of going down in Mitzrayim and leaving Mitzrayim, and ultimately the parashas that we're coming to now of building a Mishkan, of building a Mikdash, of changing the darkness into light, that these weeks have a tremendous koach to repair the most horrible aveiros in our lives, particularly in Yonim of Kedusha, of Yosef HaTzadik, in Yonim of Kedusha. Brought down the Svarma Kedoshim, that between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, we have that week of Aseret Yemei Teshuva. Now that, of course, we all are very connected to those days because of all of the tefillos, and it's between Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. But the Sfarim say that this entire period of time of Shovivim Tat, this whole time that stretches out over all of these weeks, it's like a Seir Shemetshuv, as the Koch of a Seir Shemetshuv. Therefore, the main avoda during this time of the year is to say Tehillim, is to try to say Tehillim. V'yidum beis, v'yidum divrei kotcha shor Rabbeinu Ephraim, shoy echad meharishonim. Sh'omar, we have a teaching from Rabbeinu Ephraim, who was a Rishon. Sh'omar, sh'amira sa Tehillim, hi mar l'gedolav in his gove b'yoyser, said that that saying Tehillim is a tremendous, tremendous mile. It's a very great thing to say Tehillim. Ad kidei kach shemi sha'omer kol yom ma'at Tehillim. Listen to this from Rabbeinu Ephraim. That a person who says every day ma'at Tehillim doesn't have to be a 40-day project and to divide it between the friends. And a person who says a little bit of Tehillim every day, nechshav loy kemi shalomed kol hayom kulo. You hear this? If you say every day a few kapitel of Tehillim, actually, let's put down this one to try to say four kapitel of Tehillim, l'kalapachas, but a person who says a few kapitel of Tehillim a day, that day that he's saying those kapitel of Tehillim, it's considered ki'ilu, he learned the entire day. V'yadu ma'ashomu chazal, she'dovra melech bikesh me'esa Hashem Yisbarach, everybody knows that Dovra melech asked Hashem, she'amiras Tehillim te'chshuva be'enav Yisbarach, Kamoisha Oiskim bin the Goim v'Ohalos. Chazal say in a few places. The David Malach asked, and it wasn't so poshut, and Hashem wasn't so poshut, but Hashem agreed. And Hashem gave in to him. The David Malach asked from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that saying his Tehillim should be considered in Hashem's eyes like the person is Oisek, like the person is learning Negoim and Ohalos. Now, Negoim and Ohalos, you know, are Mishnayos, Masechtos that deal with very, very, very complicated, difficult topics. The topic of Negoim that has Tzaras, Negoim, you know, the skin diseases that we have in the Torah, the parashas of Tazria Mitzara. Very complicated parashas that we don't understand, we don't feel a shaychus, we don't know what it's talking about. And Ohalos is dealing with also very complicated halachas of Tum and Tahara. So the way that we were taught when we learned this Chazal when we were younger, and seeing it in different Svarim, the Musa Svarim is that when you say Tehillim, Hashem counts it like you're learning the most difficult stuff in Torah. Like it's counted like you're learning not just that you're learning, but you're learning really, really hard things. But the Tzaddikim tell us more about this. Umefarshim Asvarim Hakadoshim, that there's a reason why David HaMelech Davki asked for the Goyim and Ohalos. He didn't ask for Yevamos and Ksubas, that it should count like we're learning Brachas or Shabbos. He asked Davke that when Jews will say Tehillim forever, till the end, that when Jews say Tehillim, it should count Ki'ilu, the person is learning Negoim and Ohalos. So the Svarim tell us what this means is, Shekmo Shelimud Mishnayis Negoim V'Ohalos V'chol Seyde Taharas Hu Tikin Gorla Pagam Hayisoyed. See, there are certain averes. There are certain averes that defile a person more than others, that bring a person down, that affect the person's entire Yiddishkeit. Pagam in the Inyan of Yosef at Tzadik, in Kedusha, in the area between men and women and so on, and all of those halachas. It's a systemic pgam. It's something which causes despair, depression. It makes a terrible wedge between a person and Hashem Yisbarach. Look, every Aveira creates a mechitza between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every Aveira. But particularly in this inyan of taharas, of not living lives that are pure. Now these parashiyas, these mesechtes, they deal with very, very unpleasant things of Negoim and also in Ohalos. The parashiyas, Chazal call them parashiyas shchayrus. black parashias. Disgusting. And the Svarim HaKadoshim tell us that davke learning these in Yonim, in other words, learning Seder Taharis, which is very, very hard, that part of Mishnayos, those halachas that deal with how to remove ourselves from defilement, from impurity, particularly from these disgusting things, that these halachas in particular, by learning these halachas, we are able to lift ourselves up from some of the darkest things in our lives. Therefore, when David HaMelech asked Hashem, when he finished Tehillim, which Chazal tell us what kind of an unbelievable Eis Ratzon, like Hashem was in the best mood he was ever in. And you know, you have to know when your parents are in a good mood, you have to know to take advantage, right? It's an Eis Ratzon. So David HaMelech said, by the way, could you count, anybody who says Tehillim, you like, you happy with it? Yeah, Hashem says, Gavaldik. Anybody who says it, can you count like they're saying the Garmin Aholos? So Hashem is Baruch, with the Indian of the Garmin Aholos, it wasn't so posh. It sounds almost like Hashem was saying that if you would ask for different Masechtas, maybe, but that it should count like the Garmin Aholos, David HaMelech says, Davke in the Garmin Aholos. And Hashem is Baruch says, Zachalacha. Okay, I'll do it. It's an amazing thing. Because what Hashem Yisbarach was agreeing to was not just that it counts like we're learning Torah. It does. Rabbi Ephraim says like you're learning Torah the whole day. You say a few kapitlach. That doesn't mean you have an excuse not to learn, of course. But it's a big thing, a big, big thing. But David HaMelech wanted something else. He didn't just want that it should count on the scorecard that we're learning Torah. He wanted that it should have all of the koyach of that learning, of taharis, that purifies us. That's like being in the mikveh the whole time you're learning. That David HaMelech wanted that for us. That when we say kapilach tehillim, no matter what we're in, batzar, that tehillim should bring a harchav. That tehillim is a ticket out of tumah. It's a way out of all of the negoyim and all the oilas of tumah that we're stuck in. That's what he wanted. And Hashem said, he's maskim. Chol Seder Taharis Utikun Godel Al Pagam HaYisod, the Pagam of Yisod. We're going to be talking about that inning tomorrow morning with the guys. Umetahir Odom Mikol Zuama. And it purifies any person from the filth that's the opposite of Taharis. Kamarchein Amiras Telem, He Tikun Godel Venifla Al Kol Al Pagam HaKosha. Saying Tehillim, even if you don't understand what you're saying. Saying Tehillim is a tikkun gadol v'nifla, a tremendous, tremendous tikkun. We're not even talking here about Rabbi Nachman's tikkun klali. That would be a whole separate, we would need for that a few months, just to talk about the inyan of tikkun klali, what that is, and the nigunim, the 10 nigunim, and the 10 places of pulse that give us life in the body. And the 10 kapitlach tilim and the whole tikkun that comes with tikkun klali to bring the princess back to life when she's dying. What the Rabbi Nachman's Torah and what he gave us, the inyan of tikkun klali. Of course, it's all connected to this. So there, Rabbi Nachman said it's not to say any kapitlach tilim, but especially the formula of tikkun klali that he put together, those kapitlach in that order. But when he was megalah, that all the tzaddikim mamash went out of the kelim. The Rabbi Nachman was megalah such a thing. Tikkun klali. That is a tikkun gold of a nifla al kol hapagamim hakoshim. Gimel. Hinei bederach klal, the bottom of the page. Hinei bederach klal onu machshivim la'avodas ha'Torah v'atfila kishnei drachim nifrodim ba'avodas Hashem Yisbarach. Now, we usually and naturally, we think of davening and learning as two different tracts. La'avda alaf ha'avdalas. When I was a kid, when I lived in Eretz Yisrael, so already in high school, you could either be humani or reali. You know what that means? You could either be a humanity person, you wanted to do more history and literature, or you could be reali, realistic, which is math and science. So, generally, you have a person that he's... There's a pretty clear division between those two types. Sometimes you have people that they're versatile and they carry both of those areas. But most of the time, a person is more of a reali type or more of a humani. Similarly, there are Jews that their inyan is davening. That's their inyan, davening. And there are other Jews that their inyan is learning. And we think of these as two separate worlds. And there are many, many things that we've learned about how they're different. And every person has an etiyah to one more than to the other. But we think of them as shnei drachim nefradim of Avodas Hashem Yisbarach Hu, k'mo yishomar Rav HaKadosh Rav Uri Mistralis, shehoyu tzadikim shehoyu oiskim, turn out the page, there were tzadikim, Rav Uri Mistralis said, there were tzadikim oiskim be yigiyas ha-Torah. There were tzadikim who were famous for their yigiyas ha-Torah, for their unbelievable hard work in learning. That was their main thing. Of course, they davened, and they davened, they were great daveners, but the ikka was learning. V'hoyu tzadikim shehoyu oiskim Avodas HaTfilah. The other tzaddikim, they were famous, that the ikka by them was their fiery davening, was their davening. Even the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says, the Gemara is asking, L'mi ivra alma, for whose sake was the world created? It says, Machloikis Rav and Shmuel, and one holds that the world was created for the sake of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the view of Rav, and of Shmuel, and Rav holds the world was created for David HaMelech. So you hear the difference, right? The view that holds that the world was created for the sake of Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi says, She'os l'kablus ha-Torah al-Hasinai. That says that the ikka derech, the ikka way, the main way to get closer to Hashem is through the study of Torah. And there are Jews who naturally are inclined to that. And that's beautiful. And they feel that that's their way to Hashem. The Moshe Rabbeinu Eden, and Shmuel says the world was created for the sake of Moshe Rabbeinu. Rav disagrees, and Rav says that the world was created for the sake of David HaMelech. Rashi says, She'osed lo'y mashiris v'tishbachas. Not that David didn't have to learn, he was a great Talmud Chacham, but the Iker, when you think of David HaMelech, you think of shiris v'tishbachas, you think of tilim, you think of singing, of dancing. That's David HaMelech. So this machloikis hadoris that goes through all of the generations. The machloikis at the end of time between the Talmidei HaGra and the Talmidei HaBaal Shem, of course, this is a machloikis. The Talmidei HaGra hold that the main connection that we have to God is through learning. And Talmidei HaBaal Shem agreed that learning is very, very great, but the main connection comes through tefillah, through davening. And even between Rav and Shmuel, as this from HaKadoshim explained. From Shmuel, we don't have any tefillahs. Shmuel says that the world was created for the sake of Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't have in Shas any tefillahs from Shmuel. Agadata, non-halachic pieces in the Gemara, maybe one or two that you could find from Shmuel. Maybe one or two. Rav? Oh, Rav, there's a lot of agadata, a lot of stories that Rav told. Also, b'schus tefillahs, Rav. He was a baal tefillah. He wrote tefillahs, he composed tefillah. He was a very, very emotional person. He was a Dovna Melachid. Shmuel said about himself, Nihirinli Shvila Shvili Dirakia Kishvili the Nahardaya, that the pathways of his hometown, Nahardaya, and the pathways of heaven, he was an astronomer, he was a great scientist and mathematician. Kiddush HaChodesh Shmuel, he was a great mathematician. So he was more of the Re'ali track, science and math. That was Shmuel's track. Rav was more humani. He was more into the humanities. I'm only using that as a mashal. But it's interesting because that's the machloikas. The machloikas between Rav and Shmuel. Rav says the world was created for David HaMelech. In his way, Rav was more with davening and agadata. And Shmuel says the world was created for. Shmuel says the world was created for Moshe Rabbeinu. And the way of Shmuel was much more in learning, in the methodology of learning. There was a great tzaddik Rav Amiel, a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He had a whole drosh on this inyan. But you carry that throughout history. Rambam and Rabbi Yehuda Levi. I don't have to tell you the Rambam's. The Rambam's Shita was what? Moshe Rabbeinu, Shmuel. It's the Rambam. Rabbi Yehuda Levi's. Rabbi Yehuda Levi's whole mahus was tefillah, shira, it's Rabbi Yehuda Levi. Throughout the generations, there were machlekes in all of the time. It didn't just start with the Baal Shem Tov and the Gra. It was always like that. Going back to David HaMelech and to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the machlokes. Then you have by the Tanoim, there was a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. At that time, you know, it was the Churban. The Romans were destroying Yerushalayim. and Bis Hamikdash and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had a shaychus to the governor later on to be the emperor of Rome, and this Roman governor liked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he asked Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, "What do you want? In other words, I'll give you something that you ask for." And do you remember what Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked for? Who remembers? Tein li avne v'chachamea. He asked, in other words, Yerushalayim is hafal. The Beis Hamikdash he held was finished. There's nothing to do. What are you going to do? So he didn't want to ask her too much. He was afraid, like Rashi says, he was afraid he would kill him and throw him away. You know, he'd kill him. He wouldn't give him anything. So he asked for the yeshiva in Yavne. Tein li Yavne, don't kill the chacham. Leave the chacham alone in Yavne. Tein li Yavne v'chachamea. Which was tremendous foresight, because from the yeshiva in Yavne, they were able to rebuild Torah. But when Rabbi Akiva heard what happened, Rabbi Akiva said the pasuk Das Chacham Yisachal, that even the smartest people could say something stupid. He said, Das Chacham Yisachal. Rabbi Akiva held he should have tried to ask for the Beis HaMikdash. He should have gone for it. He should have asked for the Beis HaMikdash. What's the machlokes? What's the difference? You understand? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai held that the way to save Am Yisrael was through learning. Tein li yavne v'chachamea. Rabbi Akiva, and that was his whole mechus, even though he was the Gadol Hador, Rabbi Akiva said the Beis HaMikdash, which is Avoda, that without the Beis HaMikdash, all is lost. It's the same achloikas. By the Nevi'im, if you go back further, by the Nevi'im. Chazal tells us in Sanhedrin that there was in Shemayim a rumor that Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, who was an enikel of David Melech, that Chizkiyahu was going to be Mashiach. He was slated to be Mashiach Tzikeinu. He had everything. So he was going to be Mashiach. Do you remember what happened? So Yeshaya Hanavi came to Chizkiyah, and Yeshaya Hanavi said to him, Shirul Hashem. The one thing you're gavaldi, but the one thing that you're missing is shira, is song. There's something missing on his level in tefillah and davening. And Chizkiyah wasn't nispal. Chizkiyah said, Torah Shani Loimen b'chaperos alai. In his days, men, women, and children knew all of these halachas. It says in the Gemara, from Don to Beersheva, everybody knew Torah. He opened up all the yeshivas. And because of that, he didn't become Mashiach. So it's machloikis also between Chizkiyah HaMelech and Yeshaya HaNavi. What's the ikke? Is the ikke Torah Tefillah? This is going throughout. Rav Amiel explains an amazing thing. It says in the Gemara in Brachos, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, when he was dying, you remember, before he died, he said, Panu Kelim and Habayis. He said, I don't know, there are two ways. Any day, I don't know where I'm going, to Gan Eden or to Gehenim. So the Tzaddikim asked, what do you mean? He doesn't know if he's going to Gehenim. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai changed the whole world. He saved all of Yiddishkeit. He was the Tzaddik. He was the Kaddish. What is he worried that he's going to Gehenim? He says, Any day, La'an Melichim, I see, before he died. And his students said to him, Amud Hayamini, Patish HaChazak. You're the pillar of the entire Jewish people. And then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was quiet, and the last thing he says, Panu Kelim and Habayis, B'nei Hatuma. Take all of the Kelim out of the house, because I'm going to die, and they're all going to become Tomei. So he wanted to save them the trouble. Quickly take all of the Kelim out of the house, and prepare a seat for Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda Shabbat. That's what he said. Prepare. He saw Chizkiyahu. And he said, bring a chair over here for Chizkiyahu, he's over here. So Rav Amiel explains, what's that Chizkiyahu doing? Because Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he said, was worried right before he died. Because he knew that Rabbi Akiva said, you made a big mistake. You should have asked for the Beis HaMikdash. We might have gotten the Beis HaMikdash. And who knows what the world would be like if we would have had the Beis HaMikdash. Right? You should have asked for the Beis HaMikdash. So Rav Amiel says that the rest of his life, even though Rabbi Yochanan was busy building up Torah, he was thinking all the time, what did I do? Maybe Rabbi Akiva was right. So right before he died, he was afraid. Any adela an merlichim, I see. He was worried. I don't know where I'm going. Am I going to Gan Eden or am I going to Gehenna? But he was mechazik himself, and he said, prepare a seat for Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. Because Chizkiyahu said, what? Torah sheni loymed mechaperes alai. That the Torah that I brought into the world should be a kapara for me. So these were always seen as two paths, Torah and Tefillah. But the end of that Gemara is that the world was not created for Moshe Rabbeinu, and the world was not created for David HaMelech. It was created for Mashiach Tzikein. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. Mashiach means the fusion of those two worlds. Moshe Mashiach. Mashiach is the need of Moshe Rabbeinu. Mashiach is Moshe Rabbeinu. Mashiach and David HaMelech. It's the fusion of those two worlds of Torah and Tefillah. Which Rav Kook wrote in his letters that now that we're getting close to Mashiach, we could see before our eyes that these two worlds are coming together. The time has come to make peace between the students of the Gra and the students of the Baal Shem Tov. To bring those two worlds together, of Torah and Tefillah. Because throughout time, Golus has been a state of separation between Torah and Tefillah, between David HaMelech and Moshe Rabbeinu. That these haven't been brought together. So Ruri Spelika says, we see that there were tzaddikim, that there were great begis at Torah, that the ikkar was by them Torah. And the tzaddikim, the ikkar was the esek b'tefillah. Ruri Strelitzke, you know a little bit about Ruri Strelitzke? He was called the Sarif, the fire. Ruri Strelitzke, he had a machlaikis with a male primishlan. He had a big machlaikis with a male primishlan. And it's the same machlaikis. The inyan by Ruri Strelitzke, the ikkar by Ruri Strelitzke was Torah. And the inyan by the Rebbe of Meryl Primishlana, The ikkar was avodah, was tefillah. He made himself into very simple. He wasn't, but he made himself very posh. He was davening all day. And Rav Ruri Strelitzke had big tainus against Rav Meryl Primishlana because he was performing miracles, a lot of miracles, very open things, and Rav Ruri Strelitzke was against it. It's also part of this machlaikas. Whether nisim should be nisim gluyim, to reveal nisim or not to reveal nisim, it's part of the same thing. Those who are from the world of Torah hold that everything should be more covered. It's the need of tefillah, of Torah rather. Those who come from the world of tefillah, the need of tefillah is to be poil Yeshuas, is to bring things out more. So there was a very, very big machlokes between Rav Ruri Strelitzke and Rav Meir Primishlana, this inyan of Torah and tefillah about nisim. You want to hear a story? You okay? It's Matzah Shabbos, I have a cheshik to tell you a story. Children like to hear stories. So that's where Hashem's children like to hear stories. I'll tell you, it was a Shabbos story. That by Rav Ruri Strelitzke, all the chassidim were very, very poor. Even if you were rich, but when you became his chassid, you lost all your money. Rav Ruri Strelitzke despised this world and anything that had to do with Gashmius. And not only that, he refused to discuss Gashmius with his Hasidim, and he did not daven for their physical well-being, only for their spiritual well-being. And it was known that by Ruri Strelitzke, he himself didn't have a pruta lift right, mamish, a penny. And the Hasidim, when you became one of his Hasidim, it was guaranteed a lifetime of poverty. Guaranteed. So he had a chassid that Nabuch was in a very, very, very bad situation, this chassid. He was in trouble with the debt and all kinds of tzaras. And there was also some sickness in the home. And Rav Ruri Strelitzke, didn't daven for him, for his parnasa and for his health or anything. He would only daven and work with them with their ruchnias. That was all Rav Ruri Strelitzke was working. So what happened was that the wife of this person was so desperate, they were so poor, that Mamsh didn't have what to eat. And this was a chassid of Rav Ruri Strelitzke. So that she did something which is unspeakable. She asked her husband, could you go to Rav Meir per Mizlana? Now you have to understand what that means. That's like Lahav the Elf Alpha of Dollars, like being a Yankee person and going to the Mets, you understand? I mean, a million billion have dollars. That was like those two opposite worlds. They were, I'll tell you afterwards something about that, but there was mamash of fire. So she said, look, there's no point over here with the Boris Strelitzky. He's never going to daven for our money, for Panosa. So go to Meir Pirmish. So he was arguing, I can't, I'm a chassid from, I'm a Strelitzky, I'm a chassid, I can't go. But the children didn't have what to eat, and she's crying. But the lazy beggar, he went to Rav Meir Pirmish Lana. And he poured his heart out to Rav Meir Pirmish Lana. Rav Meir Pirmish Lana said, I feel bad for you, I love you, but I can't help you, you're not one of my chassid. Rav Uri's got you. You know, you're part of that world. I can't help you. So he said, I'm a Yid. No. He said, you belong to Rav Uri Strelitzky. I can't help you. So he was about to leave, and the Rav Meir Pirmish Lana says, I have one eighth for you. He said, listen. He said, do you have anybody that would give you credit to buy food for Shabbos? He said, the butcher, the baker, maybe a little bit I can get for one more Shabbos, I could squeeze out of them, you know? Maybe one more Shabbos. So he said, okay, fine. You get what you need. You get what you need for Shabbos. And take one of the Shabbos meals, the amount of one of the Shabbos meals, keep for yourself what you need, and put one of the meals, wrap it into a bundle. He said, next week it's going to be very, very cold and it's going to be icy. Take the food that you have and go back to Strelitzk. You'll be able to get the horses going because the mud will freeze over, and you go fast to Strelitzk. And go over to Rav Uri Strelitzky's house. He said, on Thursday night, go to Rav Uri Strelitzky's house, open the door halfway and throw in the bundle of food. And then run from there. Just run. And don't talk to anybody. Just run. So he said, okay. So he went and he asked people to do him a favor. The butcher, this one, that. They gave him some credit. And over there, he knew some people. And he got food. And he made a bundle. And exactly what Meryl Primazlan had said, when it would start to snow, snowing. And then it was cold. And it was ice. And he goes back Thursday. Goes back to Strelitzk. He was able to get moving. Everything was dried, ice, whatever. And he was able to get fast. He gets to Strelitzk, and sure enough, he goes Thursday night, and he kicks open the door and he throws in this package and he runs. Now, what was happening by Rav Uri Strelitzk? It was very bad weather that week, and none of the chassidim came for Shabbos, and he didn't have in the house a crumb. Not a piece of challah. Because when the chassidim would come, they would bring a little challah and fish. They were also poor, but they brought a little challah. But nobody was going outside because of the weather. You still with me? Yeah. So, nobody was going outside. So, it got very, very, very bad. And Rav Uri Strelitzky told his Rebbetzin, trust in Hashem, put up a pot of water, and boil the water. And something, Hashem will bring a Yeshua, we'll have dough, we'll have something to make challah, it'll be a Yeshua. She puts a pot of water, boils, the water already finished, puts another pot of water, finished. In the meantime, Rabbi Strelitzky is the Besmedrish, whatever, learning, and the Rebbetzin's there with the children, and the Rebbetzin puts her head on the table, and she starts to cry. And the fire is already finished, there's nothing, this is water, and she's crying. All of a sudden, the door opens up halfway, and a bundle comes flying into the door. And she opens the bundle, and she sees that it's a whole Shabbos meal, the whole food for Shabbos, which they could use for whole Shabbos. She can't believe it. Rui Strelitzky walks in, and she's singing and dancing. She says, what happens? That Hashem Baruch sent through somebody, threw into the house this. So Rui Strelitzky, for the first time in his life, said, that whatever Jew did, that should be blessed with all of the blessings of this world. It's the only time he ever gave a bracha. Okay. So afterwards, they found out who that Jew was because people saw him leaving. He was running away with his sled, with the horse, and they saw him leaving. And Aburi Strelitzke, after that, his wife said to Aburi Strelitzke, "What do you have such a thing against Rabbi Meir Primishlan? Look what he did for us. He went to such a trouble that he made a whole cheshbon. Could you imagine? That he made a whole cheshbon like this, just that we should have Shabbos, that we should have what to eat." So from that time, the machloikis stopped. That was when the machloikis stopped. At the beginning, it happened at the beginning when there was still storing the machloikis. So Rabbi Uri Strelitzke wanted to put an end to this whole miracle doing that Meir Primishlan was making all kinds of nisim with his davening. And Rabbi Uri Strelitzke was very upset about that, and he wanted to stop that Meir Primishlan's tefillah shouldn't have the koyach anymore to make miracles. So Rabbi Uri Strelitzke knew that he couldn't do that unless Rabbi Naftali Rabshitzer would agree. He didn't have the strength on his own to stop Rabbi Meir Primishlan. So he sent one of his big chassidim to go to Rabshitz to try to be poel with the Rabshitzer, that the Rabshitzer should agree to also stop Rabbi Meir Primishlan's davening from being able to do such things. So this chassid went with some other chassidim from Rabbi Uri Strelitzke. They went to Rabshitz and they wanted to speak to the Rabshitzer. The Rabshitzer didn't let them get a word in. Every time they came to the Rabshitzer over Shabbos, the Rabshitzer would start to say Torah. He knew with his Ruach HaKadosh they were coming to make trouble for Meir Primishlan. He didn't let them talk. And they said, we come with something from Rabbi Strelitzke. Oh, Rabbi. And he starts to say over Torah. He wouldn't let them talk. And they didn't know what to do because they were afraid. And finally, when it came, it was already the last time they had a chance. It was already after Shabbos. It was Sunday morning, and this was their last chance to get them to go come on board to not to curse but to make trouble for Meir Primishlan. So it's Sunday morning. They're going to say goodbye to Naftali Rabshitzer. So that was the custom, and they were nervous. They were nervous because they saw that Naftali was not giving them a chance. And they were nervous, and they come to Naftali Rabshitzer after davening, and Naftali Rabshitzer walks outside with them. And he says, come to your carriage, come. And they said, we have something to talk to you about. He says, just come and get on the carriage. You have to go back to Strelitzke. They said, we have something to talk to you about. And then Naftali Rabshitzer said, listen to me. Last night, Rabbi Aaron Leib, the father of Meir Primishlan, came to me in a dream. And he said, I left in this world a small fire to help Jews. I dare anybody who will try to put out that fire. That's what Naftali Rabshitzer said. And the chassidim said, okay. okay. And they got on the wagon, and they were about to leave. And all of a sudden, there was from nowhere, it's not like this is the Penn Station, from nowhere, there comes a wagon, fist, and there's somebody standing, not sitting on the wagon, standing on the wagon, riding the wagon, standing up, and his beard is flying in the wind. It was Rabbi Meir Primishlan himself. Okay. And he passes by in the wagon, he screams out, my father said I'm a small fire, I'm a big fire. That's what he said. He says, be careful. He said to his chassidim. That's what he said. That's a tzaddikim. Anyway, I had a cheshik to tell you a story. So I saw Rabbi Strelitzke's name, so I told you a story of Rabbi Strelitzke. But in the end, they made peace. They made peace in the end. So there's peace between Torah and Tefillah, between Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, between the Baal Shem Tov and the Grod, there's peace. But throughout time, they were always seen as two different ways, as two separate ways. But Derech Klal, we didn't see that by one person, we didn't see Etzel Odom Echad La'achid Hashleimus B'Shneim Halchim Halalu. Rabbi Uri Strelitzke said that we didn't see that one person should be able to bring these two, the Torah and Tefillah. Of course they were great, but Torah and Tefillah, they should both be the highest equal. Didn't see. K'meishim Evi Ayida Kodesh Shayet Sadik Echad Shenisilus Asik B'Shleimus Avodas HaTefillah V'Ater Yachtov V'Nifter B'Kitzer Yomim B'Shanim. Where the Ayida Kodesh said that there was one Sadik who wanted to bring himself to a place of perfection in both of those, Torah and Tefillah, and he died a young man. He couldn't do it. Now you all think, of course there were tzaddikim who were great in both. But we're talking about shleimus, madregas that we can't understand. David HaMelech HaMoshe Rabbeinu. Ach be'emes lamitoi. Eitzel ha-tzaddikim ha-gdalim ha-muflogim b'maylu k'David HaMelech Shayach Kein. The truth is that there were very, very great exalted tzaddikim. This is connected to what we're learning. What we're learning on Erev Shabbos with the Yechidei HaDoros. There were great tzaddikim, like David HaMelech. Du zocher l'soid ha-avoyde shal Torah Tfila, Yachtav, that David HaMelech was zoche, the Torah Tfila. V'hu gila ha-soid damiras tehillim. And we see that, not only because the Gemara tells us in Brachas that he was passing a shaylis, he was a big Talmud Chacham, he was a huge Talmud Chacham, David HaMelech. Not just that. Davni Nezer was also, the Chiddush Arim, the Baal Tanya, and the Gro wasn't great in davening. We're not masik such things. Chaim Volozhin, they're great people. But we see that by David HaMelech, something unique. David HaMelech wanted to be poel, and he was successful. To make Tehillim, to say that saying Tehillim should be learning. That we don't have anywhere else. Only we will see by Rabbi Nachman in a second, such a thing. But that Torah and Tefillah should be brought together. That what? V'hu gila ha-soid d'amiris Tehillim. He was Megala the Soid. David HaMelech revealed to the world the secret of Tehillim. The greatest weapon that the Jewish people have is Tehillim. He was Megala the Soid of Tehillim. That's what Rabbi Nachman says in the second Torah. In Emor L'Kahanim, the Rabbi Nachman says the Mashiach won't have to fire one bullet, right? It'll be a davening. It'll be a davening. V'gil ha-soid d'amiras tehillim. Shemitzad echad ha-tehillim u'michelke ha-Torah k'daisha. Because Tehillim is one of the books of Tanakh. It's a sefer of Torah. It's a book. It's part of Torah. It's part of Tanakh. It's k'suvim. It's part of Tanakh. Who's sefer echad ma-k'suvim ha-k'daisha. It's one of the 24 books of Tanakh. Mitzad sheini, on the other hand, who molei b'tfilo v'sachanunim v'shtapchus ha-nefesh l'fnei Hashem. So the whole book is a sefer of histapchus and nefesh, of David HaMelech pouring his heart out. He's all crying and begging and davening. V'zeu de matzina, therefore we see, the yoyme de hilula de David Malka, who b'chag ha-shavuos, yoyme matan teresayna. See an amazing thing. Even though David HaMelech's inyan, of course, that we all know him for, is tilim is for davening, but look what he did. He was poel, that he made a yichud between Torah and Tefillah. You understand the yichud he made? That he was able to bring together those two worlds, that he took a sefer of Tanakh, Torah, which was Kula Tefillah. He made a yichud between the world of Torah and Tefillah. So David HaMelech's yard site is Shavuos, which is Matan Torah Seinu. That's his yard site. So the yard site of David HaMelech is on a day that you wouldn't expect. You would have thought that maybe it'd be Sukkot, Hashanah Rabbah, right? Tefillah. But David HaMelech's yard site is Davke Zaman Matan Teresenu. Because he was miyached, he made a yichud between himself, which is Tefillah, ani Tefillah, his koich was, the ikar his was Tefillah. And what? He asked that it should be counted like Torah. So his yard site is on the day of the giving of the Torah. Rav Huttner once said, Rav Huttner said something very, very remarkable. Rav Huttner once said a remark he made that the Gro's yard site is Sukkos. The Gro's yard site is Sukkos, and the Baal Shem Tov's yard site is Shavuos. You hear that? The Gro's yard site, the Gro's Torah, right? So everybody would have thought that the Gro's yard site should be Shavuos. The Gro's whole Indian is Torah. It should be on Shavuos. The Baal Shem HaKadosh, his whole Indian is Shira Tfila. So the Baal Shem's yard site should be on Sukkos. The Gro's yard site is Sukkos, and the Baal Shem's yard site is Shavuos. That Hashem Zoch made such a yichud, which is the Indian of Ikvus of the Mashiach, to bring together the Baal Shem Tov and the Gro. He made such a crossing over. It's an unbelievable thing. To teach that the shleimus of Torah, when is Torah in its highest state? When it is woven together with avodas hatfila. When those two are mamish brought together. Which is the inyan, especially on a leap year, because that's the inyan of the moon, which is tefillah, and the sun, which is Torah. And those two are brought together on a leap year, the solar calendar and the lunar calendar. That's the inyan of einenu mi'irois kashemish v'chayerech that David HaMelech asked for, that our eyes should be shining with the light of the sun and the light of the moon. The light of the sun is Torah. The light of the moon is tefillah. And he asked for those two to be together. So it's especially when it comes out Shavuot Tat, like this on a leap year, Shanu Mu'uberes, where there are 2 months of Adar. One is Keneged Torah, one is Keneged Tefillah. And that there's a yichud of those two worlds, of Torah and Tefillah. Da HaTorah HaKadosh Be'Bechinas Chama, the Torah is compared to the sun, that clarity, and so on. And Tefillah is Be'Bechinas Levana, davening is compared to the moon. That's why when we make Kiddush Levana, we say David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kai. By Kiddush Levana. Like Reb Tzadik says, that davening, what makes a person to a great davener? When you feel that there's something that's missing in your life. Chisar. Torah, Reb Tzadik says, Davka, Torah is an inav when you feel that you get it. Davening comes when you feel that I don't get it. That's what makes you to a great davener. The reason that it's so hard for us to daven is because we think that we all got it. Because life has never been so good, Baruch Hashem. When someone's life, God forbid, is not so good, he learns how to daven better. Because then he becomes like the moon that's blemished, that's dark, has only a little piece of light, and sometimes it's dark altogether. Because chisaron is what brings about tefillah. Therefore, davening is connected to the moon. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. We say by the moon. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayim. The sun is Moshe Rabbeinu. Pnei Moshe K'Moshe B'Avabasa, Pnei Moshe K'Pnei Chama. Pnei Yeshua ke Pnei Levana. It's very much connected to Purim, because the holy name of Purim is Esther. The word Estahara means the moon. Her name means the moon, Esther. Ad Chatzi Amalchus is the feeling of emptiness. The holy name of Purim is connected to that Koyach. That's why Shushan Purim is said that in those cities that have walls from the days of Yeshua bin Nun and the conquest of Yericho, because Yericho means Yerech, means the moon. And it all has to do with this, with the tikkunim of the moon. The whole inyan of Purim is with the tikkunim, and this inyan. And that's why the Ibiyu is dafkir with the 2 months of Adar, that the sun and the moon be aligned. There's a lot in that's not for now. Chama, the Moshe Rabbeinu, Pnei Moshe k'Pnei Chama, Pnei Yehoshua k'Pnei Levan. Pnei Yehoshua k'Pnei Yehoshua is the inyan of Mimais Yehoshua binun. Yeshua is compared to the moon. Moshe Rabbeinu is compared to the sun. The Torah Kadosh Bechinas Chama V'Atfilu Bechinas Levana. V'tzorach Kol Ha'Eis Lahoyim Ma'ora Chama El HaLevana. Perfection means when Mashiach comes, when the moon will be always illuminated by the light of the sun. There will never be any more darkness. There won't be the light of the sun and the light and the moon will always be together. Or ha levana ka or ha chama ka shivus yimei breishis. Chayinu ma Torah tefila. That's especially in a leap year. Torah and tefila. V'alkein Yehudi mechuyev liyos bezman ha tefila, dovik b'Hashem es baruch. Therefore, dveikis t'Hashem when you're davening. L'kavan ha-kavanu sheksuvim b'svarma g'doishim sheim chelik ha-Torah. When you're davening, a person should have in mind also the deeper meaning of what you're saying, and the kavanist. And thinking, of course, people on that level to have the kavanas, that's Torah. In other words, you have thoughts of Torah when you're davening. And when you're learning Torah, and when you're learning Torah, like the Baal Tanya says, all the tzaddik and the Baal Shem Tov and Reb Chaim V'Lajna, that you have to stop from time to time and to remember why you're learning Torah. You're learning Torah to be dovuk to Hashem. What does that mean? The Tani explains the gam is man halimud. Halavai shispal doesn't mean you should be davening all day long. It means that even when you're learning, that your learning should always be in a state of dveikus. You should always remember, why am I learning? That I'm learning to become dovuk to Hashem, that this Hashem's Torah, and to be dovuk. In other words, when you're learning, you should be connecting to davening also, tefillah, dveikus. And when you're davening, you should have the kavanos, which is Torah, to bring together those two worlds of Torah and tefillah. That you're learning should be a time also of what? Of dveikus b'Hashem, of tshuva b'Hashem, the same tshuva l'Hashem, the same way that you're kriyishma, and that you're davening, your learning should be also an act of dveikus b'Hashem, not just when you're davening, but your learning should also be. So bringing together those two worlds, that's called tehillim. And the tikkun of tehillim, which is Torah and tefillah, is particularly during this time of Shavuot. How that works in Beis Hashem, we'll continue next Matzei Shabbos. Maybe we should keep the pages here, because otherwise they tend to get lost. Maybe send the pages to the Bima. I got your message. It's really close to this. Yeah.